9737.
So when it comes to drawing conclusions about your...
Some stories don't fade with time. They linger for generations. And I know how much you all appreciate good paranormal storytelling, which is why I have a podcast recommendation for you. It's called Southern Gothic. Southern Gothic unearths tales of relentless spirits, brutal crimes, and eerie folklore that refuse to stay buried, exploring where history and hauntings collide with the immersive storytelling steeped in swamp-drenched traditions of the American Southland. Host Brandon Schecksnyder brings historical depth and cultural context to every tale, honoring the communities and the traditions behind each haunting. It's thoughtful, spine-tingling, and extremely well-produced, without feeling sensationalized. And Southern Gothic doesn't shy away from the South's most violent and mysterious chapters. From historic true crime cases to deadly scandals and eerie unsolved mysteries, these stories dig deep into the region's haunted past. So, if you like hearing how eerie legends and strange first-hand encounters intertwine, this one's for you. Listen to Southern Gothic on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I also put a link in tonight's show notes.
City has full authority in that.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and anyone else that I might have missed, welcome back to another blood-curdling episode. Now I know there are literally hundreds of paranormal podcasts out there, so we thank you for choosing ours to entertain you here this evening. And to show our appreciation for stopping by, I offer you yet another installment of our very popular Doppelganger series. That's right, tonight's episode is full of double walkers, bizarro versions of your friends and family. Copies, if you will. And to kick off this latest all-Doppelganger installment is an older submission from Calypso, in that state up north. Now folks, there is some discussion of domestic violence in the following call. If that's a trigger for you, feel free to skip it.
Hi, I've been listening to your show for a while now. My name is Calypso. I live in Michigan. This is a story about a doppelganger. It's not my encounter, it's my mother's. My mom has passed away, but this is a story that she told me. Her and her family had moved up from Alabama to Detroit, Michigan, when she was about 5 years old. This takes place when she was about, I'd say, in fifth grade. My mom was born late 50s, early 60s, if that kind of gives a better, like, time period. But her household was tumultuous, wrought with addiction, dysfunction. I've heard that entities feed off of negativity, and maybe that has a lot to do with it. My grandfather, my mother's dad, was an alcoholic. So she said that my grandmother and my grandfather used to fight a lot, where it would come to blows and fists and everything, and it would scare her. But It was one morning she was getting ready for school and she needed to get socks. And the socks were in her dad's room. So her mom, bleary-eyed and grumpy, said, "Go in your father's room, go get your socks." Her dad was an alcoholic, so she knew he would be either angry from a hangover or morning sobriety or whatever. So she knocked on his bedroom door and her father came to the door and his eyes are very red and he's snarling. He's baring his teeth at her. And she goes, "Dad, move. I need to get my socks or else I'm going to be late for school." And he's staring at her and he steps aside and he lets her inside of the room. She goes into the room and her eyes are to the floor and she's looking at the floor, you know, chasing the floor for her socks. And she looks up at the bed and she sees that her father is laying on the bed and he has a look of fright, just horrified fright on his face. And he's yelling at her, "Get out, get out, get out of the room." And she turns to look at this imposter of her father who was standing in the doorway still. And he grabbed up a belt off the floor and swung at my mother. My mom managed to avoid the hit and she grabbed her socks and she took off running. And I remember her telling me that she took off running down the street barefoot with her socks and her shoes in hand, just horrified, trying to get to the bus to go to school. She never really told me what she found when she got home as far as paranormal stuff. All I know is that she said that when she got home, the doppelganger wasn't there anymore. Her father was okay. And her mother told her that if it would have hit her, she probably would have had a stroke or something. Unfortunately, my mom's passed away now, so I can't really prod her for more details. But that's my story. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you, Calypso, for calling in. Now, folks, I have a lot of calls that I'm trying to squeeze in here tonight. A baker's dozen, in fact. So that means that there's less time for my commentary on this episode, which is all fine and good, because there's not much more we can say about this phenomena that we haven't already. So that's my way of saying we're going to move rather quickly here this evening. And to prove it, let's head on over to tonight's next entry. Please welcome Carrie from California.
Hey, Derek. It's Carrie. I live in Hobart County, California, in a tiny, tiny town called McKinleyville. It has one main street and a bunch of little streets that branch off. Me and my best friend live in the same town, about a block away from each other. So this was probably, I want to say August of 2023. And we have a local hardware store that I like to go to do my yard work, get my supplies there and everything. And I know that they frequent that store as well. So I was there. I was getting, I think, some fencing for my garden to, you know, keep the pets and my cats out of it. I had just paid and I was leaving. And I swear that I saw my best friend and her partner in her car drive right in front of me. It looked exactly like her. It looked exactly like her partner. It was her car, which is, I think, a Highlander. And it had the same exact Bigfoot sticker and chicken sticker that was on the back of her car. And I called her up as soon as she passed me. And I was like, "What? You're not going to say hi or anything? You're just going to pass me like that?" And she goes, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm still in my PJs at home." And I stopped for a second. I was like, "Are you joking, right? You're joking, right? I literally just saw you at the hardware store while I was coming out." And she goes, "No, me and my partner are still sitting here, just barely had breakfast, and we're still in our pajamas because we don't have to work today." And I sat there for like 5 minutes. I was like, I swear to God, had the same chicken sticker, I had the same Bigfoot sticker, was you with your glasses and your curly hair and your partner with his beard. It was you guys. I swear to God, I just saw you guys. And they literally video chatted me, and they were home, not even dressed yet. It was so crazy. That's the first real big incident of doppelganger stuff I've had going on in this tiny, tiny town that I live in. The next town over, which I work in, is a little bit bigger. And I swear to God, I keep seeing my dad. It's not my dad, though. But he dresses exactly like my dad. He likes the same football team as my dad. He has long hair like my dad. It's the same color as my dad's. But I know it's not him. I swear to God, it looks exactly like my dad. Anyways, those are my two really good doppelganger stories. And I got a bunch of other stories. I live, you know, where Bigfoot was first spotted. So there's plenty to go on out here. Thanks for the show. It's really great. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Now, it's one thing to think that you saw your friend's doppelganger. It's entirely possible that there are two people in town that look almost exactly alike. But for the partner to also look the same, and the vehicle, that's beyond what I think coincidences are capable of. But hey, that's just my opinion. A big thanks to both Calypso and Carrie for kicking us off here tonight. Now, if you don't mind, we have a few bills we gotta pay.
Gotta start with cleaning no matter what.
Now, let's be real. Navigating today's economy is a lot. Tariffs, tight budgets, hiring freezes, and high interest rates. But if you're building a business right now, I've got one move that actually helps stretch your budget. Upwork. Upwork is the hiring platform designed for the modern playbook, where you can find, hire, and pay expert freelancers who can deliver results from day one. It's perfect for businesses on tight budgets, fast timelines, and zero room for error. Companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in the way they staff their projects. By accessing a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web development, design, admin support, marketing, and more, Upwork is convenient, cost-effective, and transparent. No subscriptions, no upfront fees, and you only pay when you hire. Posting a job is free, fast, and simple. So if you're trying to stretch your budget and keep things moving, Upwork's got you. Never tried Upwork? Well, now's the perfect time, because they're giving our listeners a $200 credit after spending $1,000 in your first 30 days. That's $200 you can put towards your next freelancer, design help, admin support, marketing, whatever your business needs. Visit upwork.com/save right now for this great offer. That's upwork.com/save to get a $200 credit to put towards your next freelancer to help your business grow. That's upwork.com/save. Again, upwork.com/save. Don't wait. This offer is only valid June 24th through August 5th, 2025.
You know, there have been, you know, I'm trying to float it. There were people saying that, you know, how many...
Now, think quick. Name a place you think you'd be most likely to encounter a doppelganger. Now, how many of you out there said a party? Because that's the answer I would have given. You get a little alcohol involved, and those likenesses get harder and harder to tell apart. Well, as it just so happens, that's the very setting for this next submission. A story about a doppelganger at a party. Courtesy of Seth in the state of Maryland.
I was giving you a call because I didn't think I'd ever have a reason to call in, but recently I was listening to season 14, episode 13, and you specifically asked for doppelganger stories because one of your callers was describing the doppelganger encounters related to her husband. So anyway, I thought I'd share my doppelganger story. This would have been back around 2008 or 2009. I was in college at the time, and I was at a house party with a lot of friends, a lot of folks that I didn't know, just, you know, a typical college house party. And I'm standing there in the middle of a conversation, and this girl I've never met before and didn't recognize shouts my name from across the room, and she goes, "Seth, you swore you didn't know Meg." Now, Meg was a roommate of mine at the time, and we had just recently moved into a house with a few other friends of ours. And this girl comes up to me really irate that I had claimed I didn't know Meg. And I explained to her, "No, I know Meg. She's one of my roommates. But I've never met you before in my life." And she starts getting really frustrated and angry. And like I said, this was a house party, so it's hard for me to tell because I didn't know this girl. If, you know, I didn't have a good baseline for whether she was intoxicated or anything. But, I mean, she seemed pretty coherent to me at the time. And she was getting really frustrated because she swore that when we were working together the day before, I had, you know, denied that I ever knew Meg. And, you know, Meg was at this party, and basically we figured out that this girl and Meg were friends. And when Meg and I moved into the house with those other folks, Meg described to her all the people she'd be living with. And she described, you know, this guy Seth with red hair and glasses, which, you know, is exactly what I look like and pretty hard to misidentify. And so I guess this girl worked with a guy named Seth who had those same features, to the point where, you know, she saw me in person, was standing not 2 feet away, and we looked similar enough that she got us confused. I even now don't think much of it in terms of, you know, paranormal, supernatural, or even unexplained. But it was just a funny coincidence, and I haven't heard doppelganger stories of two folks sharing the same name like that. So kind of became a running gag through the rest of that semester, where my friends would text me anytime there was a sighting on campus. And, you know, we would joke that anytime he and I would get too close, the universe might explode or implode. But, you know, I never did run into the guy, and I never heard any sightings after that semester. So just kind of a weird coincidence. Thought I'd call in. Thanks.
Thanks, Seth. Now, in my college days, several of my friends had doppelgangers, or bizarros, as we called them back in those days. As in, "Here comes Bizarro Scotty," or something like that. Now, we had a lot of fun with that, just like it sounds like Seth's gang did as well. So a big thanks to him for sharing the story. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to tell, a true story, give us a call, 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or shoot us a voice memo at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And keep those calls coming, folks. This program needs your stories to survive. Now, not all doppelgangers are of the human variety. Please welcome Danny from Nevada to tonight's program.
"Hi, Dick. This is Danny from Reno. I arrived home around 5 p.m. after stopping to get groceries after work. My wife had just awoken from a nap and brought out our four-month-old baby to greet me. Our five-year-old dog, Betty, followed. My wife sat down to feed our baby while I let Betty out to go run around in the backyard. As soon as I let her out, I turned around and saw that she was at the back door, implying she wanted to come back inside. I opened the door and she jumped back into the living room. I then closed the door, closed the blinds, and turned off the lights outside. Since I had just gotten home before, I still needed to take my coat and dress pants back to our closet. I took my time, hanging my coat up and putting my pants in the dirty laundry. I then went into the garage to retrieve my computer bag from my car because I had forgotten to bring it in when I brought in the groceries. Upon returning to the living room, I stopped in the kitchen to make myself a drink. It had been a long day, and I felt it was deserved. When my wife asked Where's Betty? I answered, I'm not sure, but I had let her in a bit ago. She said, are you sure? I think I hear crying outside. I looked at her strangely, but went to the dark back door and opened it. A cold and scared Betty jumped into our living room and began jumping on us, crying as if she felt we had abandoned her. I stared at my wife in complete shock and utter disbelief, because I swore I had let her back in already. Yet here she is now, terrified and freezing. As I warmed her near the fire, my wife looked at our security system's activity, and sure enough, it accounted for when I initially let her out. Immediately, her wanting to come back in, then later, when my wife heard her crying, the last opening of the back door. I again looked at my wife and said, if she's been out here this whole time, what did I let in before?
Ooh, what did he let in? That's creepy stuff, Danny. And we thank you for sharing. Now, obviously, whatever it wasn't flesh and bone. Otherwise, you'd think that Danny and his family would have found it at some point, huddled in a corner or thrusting itself against a window. Whatever it is in this scenario. So thank you again, Danny, for sharing the call and for giving us all the creeps. Now, what do you think might be worse than having an in-law? Perhaps it's having two. I'm just joking, Nance. But our next caller might not be. Please welcome Anonymous out of California.
First of all, I live in Central Valley, California, but I wanted to share something weird that happened not too long ago. It was this summer. Me and my husband were going over a friend's house, and a lot of people were invited, including my mother and father-in-law. So as everybody got to the house, as we were walking up to the house, I seen my mother and father-in-law's car coming down the street. And so then I turned around and I said, oh, my husband's parents are here. So then we walked inside, we sat down, and we were getting ready to, you know, eat. And everybody was like looking at their watches, and they're like, well, where's Angel's parents? And so I said, well, they're outside. I said, I just seen them. They're outside. I think they're probably talking in their vehicle. I could have sworn I seen them pull in into the house. So everybody was like, oh, they're probably having a discussion, they're probably arguing or something. So we continued to wait. And so then they never came inside. They ended up showing up later, I want to say maybe like 20 minutes later. Then we ate and so on and so forth. But when she showed up, I asked her, I said, hey, you guys were here, right? Did you guys leave? And she said, no, we never left. We got here right now. And I said, I saw you guys. I saw you and your husband in your guys' car drive up to the house and like kind of pull in before I walked inside. They said, no, this is our... And so then I left it at that. And then we ate, you know, we enjoyed our evening. And then at the end, before I went home, I said, are you sure you didn't drive up and then leave? She's, no, we got there when we got there. And so now I'm thinking, did I see somebody that looked exactly like them? Did I imagine that I saw them? Or was it another vehicle that looked like them? And then my mind just said, oh, it's them, and saw them in the passenger and driver's seat. I don't know if this ever happened to anybody else. I just thought it was really weird. Could have been my eyes playing tricks on me, or it could have been something more weird. But when she confirmed to everybody that it wasn't them, like everybody just looked at me like, what the heck? And I was like shocked. I'm like, there's no way. She's probably lying. She's just messing with me. But it turned out to be that it was true. It wasn't them. So I don't know. I just thought it was weird. but I just wanted to call that in. Thank you.
Now that's twice now that the witness saw not one, but two doppelgangers and an identical vehicle. Thank you, caller, for that familiar story. Now this sort of sounds like a little talked about phenomena called bilocation. Now the concept of bilocation often goes hand in hand with reports of doppelgangers. Simply put, bilocation or multilocation is an alleged psychic ability wherein an individual or object is located or appears to be located in two distinct places at the same time. Now I'm not entirely sure how that's different than a doppelganger, but at least that's what the internet tells us. And you can read more about it over in tonight's show notes. And thank you again, caller, for taking the time to share your tale.
When you say clean, you talk about the denatured alcohol.
Remember that doctor's appointment you were supposed to make a while ago? Maybe it's an overdue annual checkup that's been 3 years in the making. Or maybe you're like me and you know you're due for a skin check at the dermatologist, but you just keep putting it off. Well, why not book it today? ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now. And it's all online. It's so quick, you'll probably be able to book an appointment before the end of this ad. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, or are just a good fit for any medical needs you have, and are highly rated by verified patients. There are over 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care, urgent care, and more. And most importantly, appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even get same-day appointments. Honestly, before using ZocDoc, I thought that was impossible. For years, I've been waiting 4 weeks or more for an appointment, which would often stop me from even bothering to get the care that I really needed. But ZocDoc makes it so much easier. And there are no long waits on hold because everything is done online. Plus, it's completely free to use. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/MAU to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/MAU. ZocDoc.com/MAU. There was also a link in tonight's show notes.
Backlit might give you some answers. And this summer, we're committed.
Now, real quick here, folks. I took a peek at our Apple reviews for the first time in a good while, and I noticed that there were a lot of people on there complaining about the number of ads we have here on the program. And I'm here to address that. First off, we have under the industry standard. Our network asked us to host 5 ad breaks per episode, but we decided to only do 4 instead, to help preserve the integrity and the flow of the program. So believe it or not, it could be worse. And second off here, 4 human beings make their living off of this show, and dozens of others depend on it as part of their income. And without ads, we could no longer afford to produce the show, and this program would have to end. So if you enjoy the show, just use the skip button. I don't think that the average person understands all the ins and outs that are required to produce a show like this. Dozens, if not hundreds, of hours go into each episode, and that is a lot of human power that needs to be compensated. So unfortunately, ads are a necessary evil. And you know, I also saw a few mentions that the ads are increasing in frequency here as of late. Well, I can tell you that they're not. It's always the exact same ratio. A maximum of 8 minutes of ads throughout the show versus 60 minutes of content. It's the same each and every week. And lastly, I'll point out that for literally a dollar a month, you can avoid all the ads. That's 4 quarters, 10 dimes, 20 nickels to get ad-free. It almost costs you more to leave the negative review than to just pay for the ad-free version. And to do that, you can go to patreon.com or monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Now, I know this doesn't apply to 98% of you, but you know what they say. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Now, you could always drown out these reviews by leaving your own over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you can leave a review. It'll take you 4 minutes, but to us, it helps build trust and a reputation that'll last a lifetime. All right. Enough of all that. Consider the bear unpoked. Let's get back to the stories. And this next one is brief, but it's chilling. Please welcome Shayla to the program.
My name is Shayla Jones. I grew up in Elm Grove, Louisiana, and we had this trailer that was, you know, the best we could have. And one night I was peeling potatoes with my mama, and I seen something in the hallway. I looked up and seen something, and I looked back and it was not there. But it was a lady in a gown. She was blonde headed, short length, and it freaked me out. But she didn't see it, so it was just whatever. And one of my friends come over to stay the night, and we didn't have a lot of beds sleeping, so I'd let her sleep in my room, and I'd sleep on the couch. She said she woke up one night, and I was just standing in the hallway, and she was like, Shayla, what are you doing? But I would never turn around. And it turned out that was like the same person that I seen.
Thanks, Shayla. You know, I snuck this one in here because it made me think. I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. One person's doppelganger is another person's ghost. For example, if I saw an apparition of my Uncle Clem, who I know is still alive and kicking, to me, that's a doppelganger. But what if you saw an apparition of my Uncle Clem? I doubt you'd make those same connections, not knowing who Clem is. So in that case, Clem to you would be a ghost. Now, Clem is made up, by the way, so technically, he's neither. But you know, the more I break down this encounter, the more it starts to hurt my head. Because it sounds like Shayla might have seen an apparition of herself at a certain point. Perhaps the same apparition that her friend saw. So this almost becomes like a which came first situation. The chicken or the egg. A question that I guess I'll leave for more gifted minds than my own. But I thought this little twist made for a fun addition to tonight's episode. So thank you again, Shayla, for taking the time to call in. Now, folks, if you're not a fan of doppelganger stories, I could see this episode dragging on for you. But I like to think a step or two ahead, so I actually have some support coming by way of a few twofer stories. Stories about doppelgangers and some other paranormal phenomena. And with the first example of several throughout the evening, please welcome Rob, out of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hi, Derek. My name is Rob. I live in Virginia, but I grew up in New England. I'm 61 years old, and I have had a lot of things happen to me over the years that I can't explain, I think, like most people. But today I'm going to pick out three of them to share with you. When I was a kid in Connecticut, my mother, my brother, and I lived in a house that was built during the colonial era. Even then, it was over 200 years old. We'd heard a few stories from people who had lived in the house before us about the strange things that they'd seen or heard, but I didn't pay them a lot of attention because I didn't want to think that I lived in a haunted house. One night, my brother and I were watching television in the living room when I noticed my mother come downstairs and step into the hallway off the living room. And because I was watching television, I didn't pay her a whole lot of attention, but I did see her turn from the hall and walk into the dining room and then disappear around a corner toward the kitchen. I also noticed that she was wearing something white thrown over her shoulders, and I wondered why my mother had put that on because the house wasn't particularly cold. 10 minutes later, my mother came downstairs again, and this time I did give her my full attention to ask her, "When did you go back upstairs?" Because I would have noticed if she'd returned from the kitchen and gone back up. She told me that she'd been upstairs for hours and was just now coming down, and she wasn't wearing anything white. The woman I saw in the hallway and walked toward our kitchen was wearing a white shawl. My mother owned a white throw-over sweater, and I'd assumed that she'd put it on for some reason. I'd also assumed it was my mother, without looking at her carefully, because there was no one else in the house besides the three of us. But it wasn't my mother. More recently, where I live now in Virginia, my wife and I and our two children lived in a large apartment building with 7 floors. From inside our apartment, we could often hear the neighbors below us arguing up through our floor, and sometimes we'd hear the neighbors above us walking around, or their young child running up and down the length of their apartment. Fast, light, toddler footsteps, boom, 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 you know, like that. The downstairs neighbors I eventually saw and was able to put faces to their voices, but the upstairs neighbors I never saw. One day, the arguing below us got so vicious that I mentioned it to the building manager, and while chatting with her and discussing how easy it is for sounds to travel through apartments, I also mentioned the kid who runs up and down the hall above us. She looked at me funny and told me that the people who lived above me had moved out 6 months previously. But I still heard those kids' footsteps, a toddler running back and forth, often in the middle of the night. I heard those running footsteps until we moved out of the apartment years later. And finally, and most recently, we were visiting my family in Connecticut last Thanksgiving, and while there, my wife and I stay in what used to be my bedroom on the 2nd floor of the house. This is a different house from the colonial one that I lived in when I was younger. We moved to this house when I was 16. It's old, but not as old as the other one. There's a walk-in closet with a built-in desk off the bedroom that I used as an office when I did homework there as a teenager. I remember then having dreams about someone watching me from it when I lived and slept in that room. During the weekend of last Thanksgiving, I was alone in the room one night, standing by the foot of the bed and watching the television that sits on an old trunk next to that closet door. What happened was so quick that I didn't have time to be scared, but the shadow of a man moved along the wall behind the television, as if leaving the closet and walking through the television and old trunk into the shadows on the other side of the room. This is about 3 feet in front of where I was standing. Of course, once it was gone and I was standing there staring at a now blank wall, my mind immediately tried to come up with explanations. And maybe it was my shadow, tossed on the wall from headlights next door. But headlights next door don't reach that window, and the shadow I saw was in silhouette. Mine wouldn't have been. I fumbled through many possible reasons for what I'd seen, but there weren't any, other than a ghost in the room where I spent my teenage years, and now each Thanksgiving. A shadow man who walks out of the closet. I've only just recently found your podcast, and already I love it. Thank you for what you guys do.
Well told, Rob. And thank you for the entry. Phantom, childlike footsteps, shadows on the wall, and of course the doppelganger and a shadow man in the closet. That's quite the collection of experiences, Rob. And we sure do appreciate hearing all about them. Well, folks, like I said, I'm going to move pretty quickly here tonight. So this next entry comes to us from the state of Arizona. Please welcome Jessica to the program.
Hey, Derek. My name is Jessica. I had a freaky experience a couple of nights ago that I thought I would call in and just share with you. I'm in Bentonville, Arkansas. I DoorDash, and so I listen to you a lot when I'm DoorDashing, and Wednesday night, I was out stashing just like normal. It was probably, I don't know, like 6 o'clock in the evening. It was still light out. And I got an order like usual and picked it up. I was driving to some apartments to drop it off. I got there. I grabbed my order and I was facing the building, getting ready to walk towards it. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw myself sitting in the driver's seat. Both my hands were on the wheel. I had a blank expression just staring forward. I was wearing the same thing I was wearing that night. And I whipped my head around really quick, like, you know, what the heck? What is that? And nothing was there. It was just really freaky because it was me. Like, I think I would probably have been less freaked out if it had been like an apparition of someone else. But the fact that it was me was super weird, super creepy. I can't stop thinking about it. I thought it might be a good story for your show. Anyways, thank you for your time. Bye.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm not real sure you were supposed to have seen that, but it did make for a great story. Now, Jessica brings up a good point here. Which of the two is freakier? To see someone else in your car, unexpectedly, or seeing yourself sitting there? And is seeing yourself the worst version of these doppelganger events? Or does it get worse than that? Well, for many of you, I'd guess that having an immediate family member copied and replaced would probably top your chart. Perhaps someone like your mother. Here with a similar story, please welcome James, calling in all the way from Canada.
Hi, Derek. This is James calling from Canada. I wanted to call in with an experience that I believe was a doppelganger one. So I grew up in a really beautiful two-story house, really high vault ceilings with a long bridge-like hallway on the second floor, which separated mine and my sister's room and a bathroom. And you'd cross the bridge and there was my parents' room at the top of the stairs. When you look down on the left of the hallway was our office. And on the right was our sitting room and the front door, kind of like a foyer formal area. So I was playing on the computer one day, probably The Sims. That was my jam at the time. And I hear my mom calling my name. So I pause what I'm doing. I look up at her and she looks extraordinary, really beautiful. Don't get me wrong, my mom's really a gorgeous person, but like I said, it was extraordinary. And she's saying, James, James, come see me. And she's smiling, this really warm, beautiful smile. So I come up the stairs to go see what she needs. And her bedroom door is closed and I knock. No answer. So I go inside her bedroom and I'm going, Mom, what is it you needed? And she doesn't respond right away. And I see her bathroom door is closed. So I give it a knock and I say, Mom, you were just calling me. What is it you need? And she's like, no, I've been in the bath for a half hour. I have a bad headache. I've been in here for a while. What is it that you want? And I'm like, what? No, you were just calling me. And she was adamant that she'd been in the tub for a while. This was a really perplexing experience, and I don't believe I've had a similar one since. Not one that I've noticed. As a young girl, I was always interested in the paranormal, and that hasn't changed in all of those years. This experience has always stuck with me, even to the smallest details. And yeah, I can't quite explain it. It was out of the ordinary. It was paranormal, for sure. I really loved the show, Derek. I loved your inquisitive, questioning mind to not accept everything at face value and find solid backing for reasonings. And I really commend your work and research. I wish all of your listeners wellness and abundance. And I urge you to keep questioning absolutely everything. This world is not what it seems. Keep it spooky, Derek. Thanks. Bye for now.
Thank you, James. We certainly do try. And a lot of that credit goes to my team, I should point out. Now, James, as for your experience, anytime I hear a story like this, I always have the same thought. What would have happened if you'd gone to The Voice? In other words, what would have went down had you listened to it? Now, honestly, I think deep down we're happy not to know. But I can tell you I'm certainly, morbidly, curious. Thank you again, James, for sharing the phone call.
9321. One of our operators are standing by to take your call.
They've won six straight. Their run differential than everybody.
Now, I think it's time to throw those non-doppelganger fans another bone by way of another twofer. Venturing back to the state of Virginia, let's meet up with Kelsey and get her side of the story.
Hi, Derek. My name is Kelsey. I'm from Virginia. I am 27 now, but my story happened back when I was in late middle school, early high school, maybe. I always grew up being a big fan of paranormal and ghost hunters and all the spooky stories like you hear on your podcast. So very interested in when I was growing up, went to a church that my mom also taught at. It was a preschool. And I've always heard that this church was haunted, various stories here and there. And I had experienced a few things, little breaths, little feelings of being watched every now and then. But one Sunday, I was at youth group. And at the end of our youth group, we'd always play a game. So it was Sunday evening. It was probably around 8 o'clock. And we would play this game called Killer, which isn't, you know, the best thing for a church youth group to play, but it was fun, so whatever, we played it. So this game, basically, you would each pick a card, and you drew the ace that you were the killer. So we go out, and we spread apart, and we walk around the church, and the killer would go up to some people randomly and tell them that they're dead, and that person would lie on the ground, and when you came across them, you'd have to figure out who did it, like a clue, done it type thing. And it kept going until the killer was caught. Well, the church was two levels. The bottom level was sanctuary, youth group room, the church office and everything. And the upstairs was where they had the preschool. And there was also a big dining hall where they had like a bunch of the playthings for the kids. And also that's where they had meals for church. Me and my one friend, Morgan, we were walking up. There was a front and a back staircase to the church. The back staircase always gave me, you know, creeps. You know, always wanted to walk up the stairs with somebody. So me and my friend were walking up the back staircase from the first floor up to the top floor when we were playing Killer. Well, we got to the top floor, and like I said, all the lights were off. One of the lights at the other end of the hallway, right before you got to the dining hall, that was on. So a very little bit of light upstairs, enough so we could see. So we were coming up into the doors to the upstairs, to the back part of the hallway. And we saw down the hallway, decently long hallway, saw our youth leader. My mom was a youth leader, and then we had another youth leader. we saw her standing in the doorway right by the light switches before you go into the dining hall. We're like, oh, there she is. Let's go. Like, we started walking towards her to go talk to her. Well, we got about halfway down the hallway, and we heard the door to the back staircase open behind us. So we turned around, and through the door walked our youth leader that we saw at the other end of the hallway. So me and my friend, I mean, every bit of air was taken out of our body. We turned around to look at the dining hall door, and what we thought was our youth leader was completely gone. My youth leader walked toward us, and she said we were pale as a sheet. Like, every ounce of color was out of our bodies. Needless to say, we stopped playing the game. We went back and sat in the youth room until everyone else was finished and it was time to leave. Extremely, extremely unsettling, and I think about that to this day. Anytime we're talking about ghosts or doppelgangers or anything like that, I always bring that story up because it was truly, like, one of the weirdest things I'd ever experienced. And like I said, in that church, a lot of things happened. I was there pretty much every week growing up until I got to where I could drive. You know, I wouldn't go there after school or before school or whatnot with my mom. And then another thing I want to say happened there. It was on a Wednesday, we had choir practice, and we were sitting there and we were wrapping it up. It was probably around 9. The choir room that we were in had two doors, one on each end of the room with like a little window slit in the door. So I was on the very far right end of the front row, and we were sitting there and I was just listening to our choir director talk, and one of my friends was sitting to the left of me. I just had to look at the door and I see this black shadow mask. I don't know what it was. It's a black figure. Just go by the window really quick. And the next thing I know, my friend is tapping me on the shoulder. She's like, Kelsey, it's time to go. I completely blacked out. I didn't fall on the floor or pass out or anything like that dramatic, but I don't remember anything from seeing that shadow until she was nudging me, telling me it's time to go. Now, it could have been a minute, it could have been 5 minutes, I don't know, but I don't remember anything between here and there. I remember I told my mom that happened, and you know, she was like, well, maybe we need to get your head looked at, you know, that's not good for you to black out and everything. And that's never happened before, it's never happened again. It was just very odd that it happened right after I saw that black mask pass. But I could go on and on with stories that have happened in that church, in that preschool. But that's my story. Thank you for your podcast. I love it. My dad loves it. Listen to it all the time. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, Kelsey. Who knew there would be so much strangeness at a church? You'd think it would be the opposite, given the spiritual nature of the building. And you know, blacking out after seeing an entity. I do agree with your mother. That is not good. Now, the church sounds like an interesting place. So thank you, Kelsey, for sharing the lore with us here tonight. We sure do appreciate you calling in. Now, folks, this next one has a strange doppelganger connection. Now, I'd explain further, but it's better to just let Lenny in Pennsylvania tell us what went down.
Hey, Derek. My name is Lenny. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. So I wanted to call in this quick story. I'm not too sure what to categorize it as. I would say maybe like a glitch in the matrix. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it and maybe like your view. Maybe you can help me figure out what might have happened here. So when I was 10 years old, I'm 28 now, by the way. When I was 10 years old, I moved to the United States and I was in middle school. And I had to learn English. So I started picking up books, and like my love for reading started at around that age because I was picking up these books to learn the language. So I have this really vivid memory of the second book that I ever picked up. which is like very oddly specific that I remember this, but I do. And the book was called Stranger with My Face, and it was this mystery book about doppelgangers. It was like the first time I ever heard about that term, doppelgangers. But I ended up being really interested in this subject and topic, and I started reading this book. And I read the entire book, but because I wasn't fluent in the language, I know that I didn't fully comprehend it. So I would say around like 2 years ago, I decided to Google the book so I can find out where to buy it online and, you know, give it another shot, reread it now that I understand what I'm reading. So I literally looked everywhere that you can think of to find this book online, and I cannot find it. And I thought, okay, that's strange. And I started like second guessing myself. I started thinking, did I like dream this? Is it like a fake memory? Like, am I going crazy? Like, I know that I read the book, but I mean, Google and online said that the book didn't exist. So I thought, okay, you know what? That's weird, but maybe it was like a weird fake memory, whatever. I dropped it, let it go. It bothered me for a few days because I just ended up thinking like, am I losing my mind a little bit? But I let it go. So last night, for some reason, it just came back into my memory. Like, oh, maybe I should try to Google this again. And I do a quick Google search, Stranger with My Face, and the book comes up. And it was just bizarre. It was so weird to me. I'm like, what? Like, I know I tried to search for this book 2 years ago, and it was nowhere to be found. But I just did a quick Google search, and now it came up. I just said it was really weird. A little bizarre. But, I mean, I'm going to pick up the book and read it, because I feel like it's a weird occurrence. But, yeah, I don't know what it could have been. So, big fan of your show, and keep up the good work. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Lenny. Now, what do you think here, folks? Is this a coincidence of some sort? Maybe Lenny spelled a search term incorrectly her first time, or the book was independently produced and just wasn't mentioned on the internet until just before the second search. Or was this one of those glitch in the matrix or Mandela effect sort of things? And like I said, not a direct doppelganger connection, but a connection nonetheless. So thank you again, Lenny, for sharing the call. And please, be safe out there.
Yeah, I've seen the bone of Friday.
Yeah, I think that's
Solo Brian for him.
All right.
You're losing me, man.
Okay, speaking of losing us.
Now, this next one is pretty wild. And before we go any further, I just want to mention that if you have kids listening, you might want to screen this call before you share it with them, because this call does include some non-vulgar sexual discussion. Again, use your own judgment here. Now, as you're about to find out, this is one of the craziest frickin' stories you'll ever hear. Please welcome Anonymous out of Texas.
Hey, Derek, I would like to remain anonymous on this one because this is going to be the craziest freaking story you have ever heard. And I'm not kidding. I listen to all the cryptid podcasts. I experienced this in the last 3 days, and it's still going on. They're still here at my house right now. What I'm calling about are doppelgangers. I really didn't think those things were real, but everybody's got one. And I've been gifted by one for some reason, not my own, to be able to see her. When I say her, I'm talking about my girlfriend. I'm not really going to mention her name either, but I mean, I'm still freaking out about it. But we were moving. So my ex-wife, my girlfriend, and me, we were loading up everything. Yeah, they're friends. We're moving me to the center of Texas, basically, about 20 miles from the center point of Texas. I've lived at this place twice before, and I came for work. So my girlfriend was going to take the U-Haul and me and her to my new house, you know, that I've lived there before. And I have 7 roommates at this house. It's a huge house. And my ex-wife was going to drive my car. So we get here, 11:30 at night on Saturday night, and, you know, we unpack my stuff and just leave it outside because it was so late. I didn't want to wake my roommates up. The manager came out, and, you know, he said, hey, you know, come on inside. I'll show you where you're sleeping. And I was like, cool. So he got me in my bed. I came back outside, and I told my girlfriend, you know, a real long 5-minute goodbye. Then I hugged my ex-wife and told her thank you for your help. And I come back inside. I go to sleep. I wake up about 10:30, go through the whole day, fine. Well, that night, I'm laying on my bed, and I'm actually dozed off, and I feel something next to me. Like, I turn around, and it's my girlfriend. I mean, she was tapping on her phone just like she normally does. She was shrugging her shoulders, same mannerisms, everything. And I'm like, am I dreaming? And she's like, no, you're not dreaming. And she was angry. My girlfriend's not an angry person. So I didn't understand that. She was angry off the jump. In fact, we got in a fight. And I was like, you're not even real. I was like, you can't be. I saw you drive off, and I saw your location on your phone. I know you're there. So what's going on here? Is this a joke? Is this TV camera show going to come out and punk me or something? And she said, no, I'm really here. And I was like, you got to explain to me something, okay? I was like, you need to leave. I was like, I don't know what you are, if you're some kind of evil spirit or whatever, but you just need to go. And we argued all night long. I mean, we had to, like, whisper argue because, you know, I got roommates. Actually, two on one side of the room, and it has a divider in the middle. It was just me on the other side. So it was only one guy on that side, and it was just me. So at the time, I only had one roommate. And once the sun comes up, doppelgangers go away. So basically, I only saw her during the night, and I only saw the other ones during the night. You can't see them during the day unless they're in a shadow or, like, the mirror's foggy. You can see them behind the mirror. Well, anyway, I'll explain that later. But the next night, I hear the clothes rack that I have sit right in front of me, and I hear the clothes moving. And I'm looking over, and it's her. And she's, like, organizing my clothes. And she's like, you never do this right, you know? You're supposed to put these kind of clothes with this one. And she's, like, organizing. I'm like, what are you? I told you to leave. So I get up immediately, and I start praying because I thought she was evil because she's just angry all the time. I was like, you know, dear Heavenly Father, you know, we rebuke this spirit in the name of Jesus, you know. And I go to touch her. My hand goes right through her, and then she disappears. And I was like, man, okay, that's crazy. Am I hallucinating here? You know, because at the point, I hadn't slept in a couple of days. I've been packed in like crazy. So I was like, well, maybe that's what's going on. Maybe I'm just imagining this because I miss her already, you know. No, not the case. As soon as I lay back down, I keep saying my prayer, obviously. And I was like, well, maybe that was it. Maybe she is evil. Well, she comes back. 20 minutes later, she's standing right next to my bed, and she points up, like, to the attic, and she goes, she's getting mad. And she, like, said, like, really crazy. And I was like, who's she? What are you talking about? Doppelgangers will not answer you, but with a head nod yes or a no down or shrug the shoulders. Now, they'll give you all the information in the world. They don't go into detail. They don't even say words. It's like a thing they got. I don't know why. I try to ask the question. They won't tell me. But anyway, that night after she disappeared, after she said she's getting mad, I was like, is she evil? And she nodded her head yes, and then she disappears. And so I assumed it was because whoever she's talking about was upset. I was like, man, this is crazy. So I said another prayer. I go to bed. Tried to, at least. Didn't get much sleep at all. The next night, once it gets dark and I start laying down, she's just standing there by my clothes rack. I don't know why she always comes out of my clothes rack. It's so weird. But she comes out of my clothes rack, and she just stands there looking at me, like, with the saddest face. And I'm like, are you okay? And I was like, look, if you came back, I wanted to tell you I was sorry about yelling at you all the time, you know? And she just nodded yes. And then she comes over, you know, lays down. She was just very sad, it seemed like, the whole time. She wasn't angry. It was just a different person. Well, we get through that night. You know, it was fine. She laid down. We just kind of chilled out. No problem. I tried to ask her a bunch of questions, you know, about doppelgangers and everything. She didn't really have anything much to say. I asked him, like, what are they? You know, what are you? Are you attached to them at birth? And she said yes. She nodded yes. I was trying to get all the information I could out of them. But they eat, sleep, just like us, but they only make themselves visible at night. And I said, well, why can I see you? Basically, I said, because you let it happen. And she nodded yes. And so now I can see any doppelganger, but only if they allow it. So because they know that I can see her, most of them don't care. I see one of my roommate's doppelgangers and my doppelganger. I saw him, we were laying down, and I see hands on my lamp, like out of the corner of my eye. And I look 1 inch over, and the hand disappears. And then I look back to the right 1 inch, I see him again. And I go back room, and I was like, is that my doppelganger? And she nodded yes. He didn't want me to see him. I don't know why. But then he was doing something to my lamp. I had these LED lights. He made like this whole LED light thing around my lamp. So weird. He was doing it for like 3 hours. This is going to get kind of sexual, okay? But they are very sexual, I'm telling you. And if you don't want to air this, it's fine. But she came up to me that night, and she goes, you want to fool around? Which is exactly what she would say. And so, sorry, I'm trying to grab my bearings because they're in there right now. And she's messed up. They have this pixie dust. I don't know what you want to call it. But she lays me on the bed, and she sprinkles this like pixie dust on me, and I start tingling all over. And then all of a sudden I see my doppelganger, his arm come up, and he's got this like gizmo in his hand with an orange light on the top, and it's like sparking. And I thought he was going to poke me with it, but no, he just went over all the pixie dust. And as soon as he went over it, it like shocked me, not in a bad way. Like, it felt really good. It's like one of those machines you put on your back and you like, you know, but it was like really different. It was, I can't explain it, but it was the best feeling. Anyway, so, you know, we start to fool around or whatever. And right when we do that, my roommate opens the door. This is where it gets crazy. So she like disappears. I see her by my clothes rack and she's going, shh. And I go, okay. And I was like, come back, you know, what are you doing? He's already in bed. And she goes, ah, ah. She's like whispered basically, I'm going to fix this. And all of a sudden I see this white, like, I don't even know what you call it. It was on my ceiling fan. I don't know how it got there. Never saw it get there, but it appeared and I see it come off. And when it came off, it looked like a upside down Barbie dress. Okay. And the bottom of the dress became like the helicopter blades. I got to go. I'm sorry. I got to get my bearings. She's laying on the ground in there. She's not doing good. I'm going to go see if I can. I got to do it in the dark, but, you know, I'm like, I got to go figure it out somehow. So if you can just give me a little bit of time, let me get my shit together. I'll call back. Y'all won't be so anxious, you know, I'm telling you probably. So I might just redo it all, you know, and write it down. That way I don't forget anything because there's so much. I haven't even got to the best part yet. Like, I mean, it's crazy. I think I'm going nuts here, but I have witnesses and I have video proof. I actually had it light enough in the room, but it's still dark, but where you could actually see them. And I mean, it's crazy. And they're talking, and I'm asking them questions, and they're trying to respond. And it's just really neat. So if you give me a little bit, man, I'll get you all the rest of the information, okay? Thanks, bud.
Thank you, caller. Where do I even start here? I guess I'll start by saying this call was submitted on September 7th. Of 2023, almost 2 full years ago. And as of this recording, I have not yet received any of these promised updates. So listener, if you're still out there and you haven't been whisked off to fairyland already, please send us an update. And send us that video evidence you spoke of as well. I'm happy to share it all. Now those that know me well, know that I don't have any of the answers. But I sure do have a lot of questions. Like, who is the she that's about to get angry? And where is she? Is she in the heavens? In the sky? Or, God forbid, in the attic? And what was that thing on the ceiling fan? And what was that pixie dust stuff our caller spoke of? And I guess, were these really doppelgangers at all? Because this story could also go in 100 different directions. But my most important question here is in reference to our caller mentioning that he hasn't even shared the strangest part yet. I mean, given everything we just heard, what the hell could possibly be more strange than that? Now, like most of you, I'm anxious to hear where this story progresses. I need an update. And I hate to leave you all with a cliffhanger, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Now, another big thanks to our caller, and a huge thanks to all the other submitters here this evening. And a big thanks to you for swinging by here tonight. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Join us on our Discord server. And leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Now don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget about our film, BoregoTriangle.com will get you there. And don't forget to join us back here on Thursday with a brand new installment, complete with a brand new Beyond episode. And don't forget, you can join us in the Beyond by going to monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the Patreon tab. Until then, keep it spooky, folks. And please, have a good night.